Tomorrow, the legislature gavels back in, and for lawmakers, things look a lot different than they did last January. There's no oil tax legislation to tackle, and the state's budget outlook is not quite as rosy as it's been in past years. APRN's Alexandra Gutierrez will be heading up our Capitol coverage, and she's here today to talk to us about what's at stake over the next few months. Hello, Alexandra.
Hi, Lori.
So, with the oil tax fight behind the legislature, what's expected to occupy lawmakers' time?
Well, we should have another energy tax fight of sorts. After hinting at this for months, Governor Sean Parnell announced earlier this January that the state had reached a commercial agreement with the North Slope producers and TransCanada to build a large diameter gas line. There are a lot of things that need to happen for that pipeline to be built, but probably foremost among those things is the legislature needs to pass some enabling bills to allow another contract to be signed, essentially. They need to authorize shipping agreements, and they also need to make changes to the state's gas tax structure if they're going to proceed with the terms of the agreement that was reached. What it sounds like is they're going to be looking at a gross tax of 8% to 13%, which is a big change from what is currently in place because that system is just exactly the same as the oil tax structure. In addition to looking at gas taxes and other bits and pieces that have to do with the pipeline, lawmakers have suggested that their top priorities are things like education, things like paying off the state's unfunded pension liabilities, and, as always, federal overreach.
Let's get more detail about the education aspect of what they'll be working on.
So with the bill that the governor introduced in December, what we're looking at is the fifth year of the base student allocation, which is the per student funding, being set at about $5,700. Democrats have been pushing for an increase to the BSA for a while, saying that this amounts to a cut in funding because of inflation. Meanwhile, Republicans have been saying that education has been funded at record rates over the past few years. And the truth is they're both right. If you look at a study by the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, if you take kind of the five-year view, Alaska's one of the top 10 states for keeping up with inflation. But if you only look at the past couple of years, we are the worst in the country. How they're going to solve this is unclear. The governor has suggested that there might be more of a place for charter schools, which he seems to think could be more efficiently funded. And there's also been talk of maybe creating an education endowment fund. But we really won't have more details on this until the governor's state of the state on Wednesday.
Not too long ago, the state was putting massive amounts of money toward capital projects. Now the Department of Revenue has forecast a $2 billion shortfall over the next session.
It's safe to say that the party's basically over for the legislature when it comes to capital spending. The budget bill that the governor introduced in December cuts capital spending by a third, down to $1.7 billion. Now, that'll probably go up. He said there's a little bit of wiggle room for legislators to add their own projects, but it definitely won't be the amounts that we've seen during times of surplus. On top of that, we're kind of seeing the legislature behave more cautiously with spending in other ways. If you look at the pre-filed bills, basically the early bills filed before the session gavels in this year, most of them don't have fiscal notes at all, really. The legislature doesn't anticipate they'll cost the state any money. You've got bills that would regulate drones, for example. You've got bills that would make Alaska's native languages official languages for the state. And while these pieces of legislation are certainly significant, they don't necessarily put any pressure on the state treasury.
Alexandra, this is the second of two sessions for the 28th legislature. How does that change the dynamic in the Capitol?
Things should be pretty hectic because if bills don't pass, they're dead. This is the second of two sessions, so there's no chance to come back next year, pick up where you left off, and get your bill through. You would have to start all over. So far, the legislature has seen about 250 bills introduced, and they've passed fewer than 50. They're going to probably want to close that gap as much as possible in a lot of ways over the next few months. So the final weeks of session especially will probably be a madhouse with all the different legislatures trying to move their priorities forward.
All right. Thanks for providing us some clarity on that, Alexandra.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
Tomorrow, leaders of the Republican and Democratic caucuses will walk us through their priorities.